This evening, I'd like us to consider our Lord Jesus. And so we're going to spend the message as well as the Lord's table considering our Savior and considering this time when we can come to remember Him. There is much false teaching and odd ideas about the Lord's table. Some believe that it's Jesus' body and His blood right there sacrificed for you that moment. Others who think that the Lord's table is merely Jesus around the elements. But instead, we find a much different picture in the Scripture. As we consider this topic, we're going to look in a few passages, but mostly we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11. Because that's one of the best descriptions of the Lord's table and what it means for us as Christians. First Corinthians, and we'll begin in chapter 10. And in verse 17, so that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll actually begin reading in verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, that is, the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread. We have here Paul describing for us the meaning of the Lord's table. It is not some sort of sacrament by which we attain glory. It is not a way for us to gain heaven. Instead, it is us celebrating the fact that we are united in Jesus Christ. It is us identifying with Him and saying, His body, my body. My body is His. His blood, my blood. My blood is His. We are identifying with Christ and showing His death until He comes again. It is a unity that we should have around the table. When we come to this table, how often we are encouraged to consider our own sins and those things which might come between us and God. But we first need to consider those around us and our unity with them. That is, with each of our brethren. Are we actually showing what this picture shows? That we are unified? This puts in a very different picture, Paul's command, that if you come to the table and you have something against your brother, go and get that right. Because if you do not have that fellowship restored between you and your brother, then you are not showing a picture where both are unified in Christ. You are saying there is division in Christ. In verse 16 there, you may have noticed, Paul describes the cup that is blessed. And he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This is sometimes used to prove that all the juice becomes blood. But we find that just a few words later, it says, the bread which we break is communion of the body of Christ. But Jesus was not sacrificed over and over and over again. He was sacrificed once. Once for all. Not over and over and over again. Not mystically sacrificed over and over and again. But once. Jesus had one body, and it was broken for us. it is not continually broken for us. If we jump down now to chapter 11, and there's even more about this topic of the Lord's table and the fellowship we should have around it. In verse 17, we'll begin reading there and lead into some very powerful verses here. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. Paul here is saying that when we come to the Lord's table, often it is not for our benefit. Rather, it is something that further condemns us. And why is that? In verse 18, first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. We have here Paul saying that they were coming together and it was bad because they had false doctrine and because they were divided one against the other. They were having fights and strife in the church and then pretending like everything was all good when they came to the Lord's table. We need to be careful that we are not warring amongst each other, striving or overturning one another, trying to prove ourselves better or destroy someone else's reputation, and then pretending everything is all good when we come to the Lord's table. Because we are showing the lie by our own actions. We are pretending one thing, yet our actions are showing that we do not have unity one with another. It is common that divisions happen because of false doctrine. As he calls it there in verse 19, heresies are among you. Often, heresies will cause us to go astray. All this means is that we must guard our hearts and hold to sound doctrine. Say, I can prove this from the Bible. It's true, it's just, it's right. And then not be torn away from someone who is a brother because we're going astray. We need to be unified around our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 20, we have him continuing on, when ye come together therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. They had gotten into some bad practices, where their celebration of the Lord's table and remembering of Jesus' death was shrouded by their desire to have for themselves and enjoy a great feast. They were condemned for that. We don't have that particular issue at this church, but we need to be just as mindful that we don't overlook people who might have less than us, that we are not showing that unity of Christ to those who are less fortunate than we are. We need to be kind and considerate to them. Even the simplest, with the simplest faith, need to be treated as a child of God. They need to be upheld in our prayers and in our hearts. We cannot claim to have unity in Christ if we are willing to overlook the plight of those who are suffering in our midst. We then have the description of the Lord's table. And in verse 23, he gives us his proof. He says, I receive of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. And we don't know when this happened. Paul wasn't there that night when Jesus did the first Lord's Supper, that night before he died. So when did Jesus tell him this? I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. But I guarantee you that this is the truth. Paul had received this straight from the Lord, not from tradition, not from one particular apostle or another, but straight from God himself, that the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We mistake this time if we focus on ourselves rather than on Christ. If we are focused on, oh, did I do everything right? Am I perfect before God? Is there any sin in my life? And we're only looking inward, then we are missing the point of this Lord's table. The point is to remember Jesus Christ. It is to remember him. Remember him. That is what it is about. It is to remember him, to think of him, to share him. We all join together in the symbol of eating the bread and drinking the cup, but we are sharing our faith in a way that can be seen by anyone. I don't know if you do this. Occasionally, I've been curious when sitting in the pew, sitting there, and you know, you're like, oh, so-and-so didn't take the Lord's table. I wonder why. Do you ever think like that? Maybe I'm the only one. It can be a way that we can minister one to another because we see the faith of someone else and it can encourage us and strengthen us. Or it can be a challenge that then makes us feel that we should go and talk to that person afterwards and say, is there anything that we can do to help? Because obviously you're struggling with something. One little story. There was a young man I was sitting next to in a service. Oh, this was a few years back. And he did not take the Lord's table. And I thought, oh, I wonder what's going on in his life. So I asked him after the service. And we had been friends for a little while, so it wasn't weird for me to ask that. By the way, I wasn't the pastor or the assistant pastor or a deacon or any of that. I was just a member of the church sitting in the pew next to a friend. And he said, well, I can't take the Lord's table because I haven't followed Jesus in believer's baptism yet. And I said, well, why not? And he said, I don't know. And so then began a discussion about what baptism was all about. And he already knew everything. He'd been sitting there in those pews for, I don't know, 18 years or something, a long time. So he knew the truth. And then, because I was looking at him and saw what he had done, he was challenged then to go on for God. And he's still serving in his local church today, helping in youth ministries and Sunday schools. And it's not because of me. It's because God worked in him. It's because someone noticed that he was not partaking of the unity that we should be having. In verse 25, Paul continues, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Just in case we missed the point before, it is in remembrance of Jesus. This is not something that's done to cause us to think about other things. This is about remembering Jesus. Now I want us to think about where Jesus was at this moment. He was the one breaking the bread. He was the one passing the cup. He had not yet died. He had not suffered. He had not been beaten or bruised. What were they remembering? I believe the 12 would be sitting there remembering what Jesus had done for them. Maybe Peter was thinking back at all of those crazy things he had done, walking on water for a couple of steps. Maybe he was thinking about how Jesus had rescued him up out of the angry waves. Maybe some of the other disciples were remembering how he called out to them. And James and John and Peter and Andrew had their nets so full they were overflowing the ships. I don't know, but they were remembering things about what Jesus had done. They were remembering his personality, who he was. He wasn't even gone from their presence, and they were thinking of him. at that time. We need to remember Jesus, not just his death, but everything about him. We must remember who he was. He was the perfect man. He was the Son of God. He walked this earth and he cared for people. He healed. He helped. He rescued. He went to the ones who were far away from God and he drew them closer. He took the ones who were just completely overtaken in sin and he said, "You're forgiven. Go and sin no more." Over and over and over again, Jesus did all of these wonderful things. Let us not minimize the Lord's table into just a remembrance of his death. Let us remember his life, his death, and his resurrection, because these are all included in who he is. In verse 26, Paul tells us that it is about his death that these aspects represent his death to us. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." And too often we read over that very quickly and we focus on the fact that Jesus died. But do you know that he's coming again? Do you know that Jesus is coming again? Is your heart encouraged by that fact? Are you coming to the Lord's table tonight and saying, "We are unified together. We know Jesus. We love him. We know who he is, what he's done. We remember all the things about him, including his death. And one day we are going to see him again." This is not just we remember a good man from long, long ago, and this is something that culturally binds us together. No, no, no. This is way more than that. This is a foretaste of the kind of fellowship that we will have one day when we are with Jesus in heaven. Jesus said that where he is, there we may be also. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what should excite us. Till he comes, this is a temporary substitute. This is a temporary picture. But one day I will see my Jesus with my own eyes. Oh, how wonderful. Then we come to the warning. And Paul is very careful in this warning. He does not want us to come casually to the Lord's table. But I would like to challenge you. Obviously, it's too late tonight. But in coming months, as you realize this is the first Sunday of the month, prepare your hearts. Consider when you come to the Lord's table, be 100% ready to rejoice in the unity and the remembrance of your Savior, knowing that you have already gone through, okay, what did I do this week and have I asked forgiveness? Part of the whole thing. That's what you should do. Because here in verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But instead, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Paul is not giving here a way out. He is not saying, well, you know, if you're unworthy in some way, or if there is something between you and your Savior, then withhold from taking the Lord's table. No, he is saying the opposite. He is saying, get yourself right now. He's the parent yelling at the kids, "You behave." It's the get right immediately so that you can partake. Because that set of words there is a command that we are to take the Lord's... let me read it here. "Let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup" is a command. It is not a suggestion. It is required that we do it. We have then, after the warning, we have the judgment that has already come to the Corinthian church, and is one that might have fallen on us from time to time here in this church. It says in verse 30. we'll go back to verse 29. I skipped that one. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. We need to join together in unity. Not in a unity that is based on, oh, God doesn't matter. God doesn't care about what we have done. No, we need to come together in a unity that we are coming before a holy God and we're not worthy, but we have bowed ourselves before Him. We have confessed our faults to Him and we have made things right between us and those around us. If you think anyone has done anything against you, go to them. If someone has done something against you, go to them. Make things right so that you can truly come to the unity here around the Lord's table. It's a very important time. It is a time that will bring us together. It will bind us together in ways that we cannot understand. We can rejoice that Jesus has delivered us from all of our sins. And then in taking the Lord's table, we can show that to those around us. We can show that unity. If we jump back to Matthew chapter 26. We have the Lord's table being given, and let's just see if what Paul described holds up to Matthew's recount of that event. Matthew 26, and we'll begin in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus had just declared to them that he was going to die for sin. And yet they left singing a hymn. They left rejoicing. They didn't understand it. And we gather that they didn't understand all that Jesus was saying to them. But surely they understood that they were being marked out as part of a select group who were dedicated to Jesus, that were one with him, that were his arms and his legs, his mouthpiece. They were his workers going at his direction. And so this did not seem strange that they would be eating his body and drinking his blood. He had explained that earlier, that this meant they were one with him. They were joined together. The unity of the blood and the bread, the unity is really with our Lord. I want us to think back to why the disciples were there with Jesus that night. They didn't realize he was about to die. They were there to celebrate the Passover. That was when God redeemed the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he did so at the purchase of the blood of the Lamb. And forever after that, they had to redeem the firstborn sons. And they had to set aside the Levites because God had purchased them. Christian, Jesus purchased you with his blood. When you take this blood, it is symbolic of him having redeemed you and washed away all of your sins. It is Jesus saying, I have purchased you. I have purchased you. It is not merely that our sins are forgiven. That's true. But we are owned by Jesus. He loves us and owns us. Oh, it is a beautiful picture, and we could go on and on and on about how the Lord's table shows Jesus' love for us, how it shows the unity that we have, how it shows Jesus is coming again because he promised he would do this again with them. That hasn't happened yet. We're still looking forward to that time. Oh, it's such a great and wonderful thing. Jesus died for you and he died for me. And so we need to take a little bit of time to make sure that we have examined ourselves. We need to take a bit of time to prepare and in future make sure we do this before we come to the service. Make sure our hearts are pure and right before God so that we can enter in to this time with rejoicing and not with sorrow. Not coming in at the last second, not coming in last place in the race, not coming in as the door's closing, but being ready to eagerly join together and say, I and you, we know Jesus died for us. We know his body and blood was for us, and we are joined together. This pleases the Lord. This pleases the Lord. So let us have a word of prayer and a few moments of quiet so that you have a chance to reflect, consider, make sure that you are not taking the Lord unworthily, and then we will have a special music and then the Lord's table. So we'll do that. Let's have a word of prayer.